feel pretty good, Brother Eddie, but there's a current underneath the tops of the waves right now. I believe there's some people in trouble. I believe there's some people that needs help. Doesn't matter if you're saved, and doesn't matter if you're lost. What matters is you got to get the help while it's here. And oftentimes we wrestle and we try to contemplate. Me and Brother Josh was talking earlier this morning. We try to figure it out. We try to work it out in our own mind. If we can work it out in our own mind, then that's God. But that's not God, Brother James. We're weak individuals. We're helpless. We need the Savior. We need the Lord. The Lord knows we need Him. And I'll say this. You ain't got to wait for an altar call. If God's dealing with your heart, that's the time to move. You won't bother me. And if it gets real heavy, God will shut me down preaching. We'll just get to praying. And if we'll get to praying, we'll get to shouting and celebrating. And may I say this, all the things, all the songs and everything, and all those things are good, and they accompany good worship, and they're a part of good worship. But what's the best thing to happen is for everybody to follow the Lord. And oftentimes we think, well, preacher can't do it. But we got a system on how we do things. We got to go by the system. Got to open up with an opening. Got to open up with a song and with prayer and invitation. Well, Lord changed all that up on Wednesday night. I don't know. He changed our Wednesday night service up this past Wednesday. And we don't go by a system or a recipe. We go by the maker of everything, the creator of all the world. And that's our Lord and Savior. So if you got Isaiah 45, if you got it, we ask you to stand to your feet if you can. And we're going to read the word together and pray together. We're going to ask the Lord to move upon us. And if you can't stand, if you got Isaiah 45, say amen.
Amen.
Thank God for your Bible. If nothing else, thank God you got a Bible in your hand. About 300 years ago, you didn't have that in your hand. People wouldn't have them in their hand. Thank God in 2018, we got the Word of God in our hand. Verse number 22 says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, wonderful Savior, we come to you once again. We ask you, Lord Father, and once again, before we ask, Lord, we want to praise you and thank you, Lord Father, for the songs that was sung. We thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, how you just being who you are, you're God. Oftentimes the question's been asked, why does God do this and why does God do that and why does he love me? And the answer is simply because he's God and Lord, it's who you are. And as this scripture says, there's none else. And Lord, it's just you. And Father, we thank you today. But Lord, we pray today, Lord, that you'd preach through us, anoint us with fresh oil. Help our dying flesh. Help our corrupted flesh, Lord Father. And if you would, put it under subjection. Help me to do that, Lord. Preach through me, Lord Father. And Lord Father, with your power and with your anointing. Lord, that our hearts would be open to hear what you have to say. That the as the writers so graciously say about this word, making the difference in our life, or may we have a difference made in our life today. There's sinners here, Lord Father, who's lost and may not know it. Maybe today would be the day that they'll be revelated with the knowing of being lost. Their eyes, their mind would be enlightened to know that they need you. And Lord Father, I pray for that. May the saint, Lord Father, that's burdened down or embattled, Lord Father, or maybe trying to build, Lord Father, on things, Lord, maybe today would be the day, Lord, that you give them that reprieve and retrieve from the things and the battlements of life, Lord, they'll find peace today in your word, in your preached word. Now, Lord, I pray for my tongue and my heart and my lungs, Lord Father, loose me. And Lord, help me, Lord Father, today to preach everything I ought to say and not to say the things I ought not to say. And Lord, we praise you and thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' precious name we humbly pray. And amen and amen. Thank God for full salvation. This scripture here in Isaiah chapter number 45, we find the Lord's sending out a call. And he's seeking and speaking to the children of Israel. Isaiah is that prophet. In the time when Israel's about to go into captivity because of their sin, he's sending out a plead and a call as he has in recent messages. I do believe we preached on Isaiah in chapter number 55, I think it was, or 57, how he sent out the call, the invitation. The importance of the invitation, that they're supposed to seek the Lord. May I say that we should seek the Lord. But these scriptures here, We find in verses number 22 and 23, we find the Lord speaking through the prophet, speaking unto the children of Israel in those days. But I do believe he's still speaking the same today, Brother James. I think the same message is still going out. I don't think the message has changed. And I believe today when he said some things in verse number 23, some things that kind of leaped off the page before I get to verse number 22. He said, I have sworn by myself. The Bible says in the New Testament when he could swear by no one greater, nothing greater. There is no one greater than God. There's none one better. There's nothing that can come even close. So he swore by his own self. And he said, my word has gone out. My word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That means it's going to serve the purpose, as he said later on in the chapters of Isaiah. He said, it'll go as I please it, and it'll serve the purpose for the reason I sent it, and it shall prosper. May I say today, the invitation that he's sending out is for everybody to come, everybody to be a part and take that which God has to give. Can I say this? Moses had the opportunity. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Moses had the opportunity and had the position of enjoying great things. But the Bible says he chose the rebuke. He chose the back turn. He chose the bad mouthing of being with the people of Israel, the Hebrews. He chose it, Brother Josh, than to choose the pleasures of sin, and they only last for a season. Can I say this? It doesn't matter what the world tries to put out there. It doesn't matter what the world tries to say. Sin always does bring pleasure. I've heard preachers say that there's no pleasure in sin. I say that's a lie. That's the reason why people do sin, because it brings pleasure. Don't no one look at me and say, well, preacher, I don't know why I do sin. I know exactly why we all do sin, because we enjoy the pleasure of it. But the Bible says it only lasts for a season, and by experience I can say, and a bunch of you can say, it only lasts for a short time. It never adds nothing to life. It only adds something to the moment. And the moment is fleeting, and the Bible says our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a moment, vanisheth away. Can I say this? Though the world may have its charm, and though the world may have its play, friend, the most important thing for you to do is to come unto the Lord. Come to Him, seek Him while He may be found, and call upon Him while He's near. I believe in 2018, the times that we're living in are perilous and dangerous times. Men have become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. People have sought out more things and more things achieve and to apply to their life. The Bible says we've got so much religion in our world. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And I've said this last night. I said it in our men's meeting. God help us today. There's pastors of churches who are helping to build bars for people to hang out in and drink in. Friend, it's gotten backwards in 2018. It's been getting backwards for some time. But friend, aren't you glad God has not changed? His hand still stretched out, full of love and full of mercy, and He wants to make a difference in our life. Though we failed Him, He's never failed us. Though we may have turned our backs, His back doesn't turn. David said, though I go out into the wilderness, God, You are there. Though I go into the tops of the mountains, God, You are there. He said, though I go into the depths of the sea, He said, God, You are there. It doesn't matter where you go. God loves us so much. He's everywhere and still wants to give everything that He can to us. But we got to look unto Him. The Scripture says in verse number 22, He says, look. The first word is look. And oftentimes we use our language, we just have it at passing. I heard somebody say that the English language is the hardest language to learn because we have so many variables and so many things that we use the same word for. But here the Scripture's saying look. Look is to gaze in a certain direction. To look is to focus your attention on something. And the Bible says that we should look. And can I say this? We should look unto the Lord. We should look under the one who can help. I'm reminded in Numbers chapter number 21 when the people of Israel, the children of Israel, began to complain. Somebody say amen right there. We know about complaining. We all got it. We all can complain. The people say, you know, everything ain't got no reason to complain. We will always find a reason to complain. The children of Israel was finding a reason to complain. They was complaining against the man of God. They was complaining. It upset God, and He sent fiery serpents to bite them. And the Bible says it was those fiery serpents were biting people, was dying because of those fiery serpents was biting them people. And the Bible says Moses interceded for the children of Israel. The Bible says that God spoke to Moses and told Moses to make a serpent of brass and put it upon the pole. And the Bible says He said lift up that serpent. That whosoever look upon the serpent, if they look upon the serpent, they shall be healed. Or shall be healed of the things, they shall not die. But the problem is, the Bible says in verse number 21, This is what Moses had wrote. He said, whosoever beheld the serpent lived. So your look is not a passing glance. Your look is not a sneak peek. But your look is to behold what you're looking at. Can I say the reason why you're looking makes a difference, Brother Tony, why you're focused on a bunch of work and looking at, right? Can I say this? When your life depends on a certain thing, you'll keep a real good focus on what can save your life. Those people didn't have nothing to help them but that fiery serpent, that brazen serpent, I should say, that serpent made of brass as it was lifted up. I wasn't there, and I never want to be in that position, but if my life depended on it, I think I'd be locked-eyed and staring like a goat upon that brass. Wouldn't you? Their life depended on it, so they focused upon that brass. And can I say this? They focused upon that serpent. Can I say today, in today's world that we're living in today, some folks don't want to take that long gazing look at the Savior. Don't want to take that long gazing look to help themselves out. But friend, there's no other person you can look to. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, the Bible says that the Lord was speaking unto Nicodemus. And in verse number 14, he said, as Moses had lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus referring to Numbers chapter number 21. He's referring to as Moses had lifted up that very serpent, and they had a look, and behold what they was a looking at, and they'd be healed from the bite of the fiery serpent. But Jesus refers to it in John chapter number 3. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, he said, so I also must be lifted up. And can I say, it says, and he said, not just to look at him and to behold him, but the Bible says in verse number 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Somebody say amen right there. Can I say, it's a beholding of what you should look at to save your life, and it's a believing in what you need to believe in to save your life. In those days and times, Isaiah was prophesying through the power of God, saying, look, look, look up. There's one to look up to. And friend, today I'm trying to hold up Jesus as high as I can get him, that you can behold and look upon the one and believe in the one who can give you life and save you from this wretched world. He says, look unto who? Unto me. Look unto me. Unto me being God. He says, there's none else. I've preached this before, and Brother Eddie, I always just look at it and say, there's God. He already addressed that. But can I say, in today's day and time, if we talk about looking upon God, everybody loves to be a part of the conversation. You can get around people who also believe and get around people who may look things differently. But as soon as you bring in the name Jesus Christ into the mix, it causes a dividing line. And can I say today that we also need a look, but we got to know who we're looking at. Can I say, we don't look at the preacher. He's not the one who can save you. There's been many a people who says the preacher saved me, or the deacon saved me, or the Sunday school teacher saved me. Can I say this today? Ain't nobody ever saved nobody else and could do anything about it to save their dying soul. There's military men who save people from a gunfight. There's people who may save people from being victims of crime. But friend, ain't no one ever been able to save you from death except for one, and that's the Lord. He says, look unto me. Look unto me. Can I say, the one that we should be looking unto is the Lord. He says, I am God and there is none else. He told Moses in Exodus chapter number 3, verse 14, when Moses come to him, he says, who shall I say sent me? And he said, you tell him, I am that I am has sent you. He says, there is a person. Anybody hearing this preacher? He says, you tell him the I am that I am has sent you. Somebody say amen right there, that the I am, not the I was or the I will. He says, I am. That means I'm always here and present. You say, preacher, what's so great about that? Because Jesus echoed those same words. He says, I am the truth in John chapter number 14, verse 6. He says, I am the truth. I am the way and I am the life. He is the I am. He's the one that you look unto. He's the only one you can. When the Bible says, when John chapter number 6, had done fed the multitudes, and a bunch of them was following him because the fishes and the loaves. And may I say today, we got a bunch of people still yet, as it was back then, Brother Eddie, they're still following for the fishes and the loaves. But when the hard preaching and the straight preaching came, many of them got upset and said, we can't handle this kind of preaching. It's just too tough. It's just too rough. Friend, the preaching's not too tough and too rough. It's the way of a transgressor. It's too hard and too tough and too rough. And can I say this today? That Bible, that word that Jesus was preaching, it wasn't death. It wasn't death, not one bit. But it was spirit and it was life. And the flesh profited nothing. So friend, it's not the message. It's not the messenger. It's the sin that's crept into our lives. It's making things hard. And Jesus looked around and saw the 12, they were still with him, and everybody else forsook him and left. He looked at the 12 and said, will you go away also? And said, to whom shall we go? He didn't say, where else can we go? He says, to whom shall we go? Look unto who? Look unto me. Look unto the Savior, Peter said, for no one else has the words of eternal life, and we believe thou art the Son of God. Oh, friend, don't look towards me. Don't look towards the Baptist church. Look unto the one who died upon the cross. Look unto the one who shed his last blood. Look unto the one who left all the glory, left the shouts of holy, holy, holy to crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. You got to look. And you got to look unto the Lord. Notice he says, look unto me. He's saying, look. Look unto me. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Peter's preaching the same message. He said, there's salvation. There's no salvation in any other. For there's no other name given unto heaven whereby we must be saved. Can I say this, every man, boy, woman, and girl, child, old or young, there's only one name that's above all names. There's only one name that can save and can deliver, and his name's Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, we all know these things, but can I say it's more than just taking a glance at it? We got to look at it. When you start looking at the Savior, you start looking at the Lord, Brother Eddie, things start coming into view, not about Him, but the things that reflect off Him about you. And can I say, the longer I take a look, the longer my gaze is fixed, the longer my directions is focused upon the Savior, the more I realize the inadequacy, just all the bad things that's in my life. I can't get the word out right. But I'm looking, seeing all the inconsistencies of my life. I can see where I'm coming up short. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says what that means, basically, we've all missed. We all have an opportunity. Hit the bullseye and hit it straight on, but nobody can do it. But thank God Jesus did it, and by Him hitting the bullseye and hitting the mark, it comes to all of us, and we can look unto Him and be saved. Can I say this? You need to be saved today. Everybody says we should change our terminology because the world has adopted our terminology and changing it. Can I say this? We ought not to change what we're saying. We ought to stick with biblical, oracle, and Bible words. Somebody hear the preacher. Do you know they take our words and try to make them mean something else? They stole the word gay from us and make it mean something perverted when it's an old English word that means happy. There's an old song I love to sing. It says, the fields strive in vain to look gay. And I remember when I first got saved, it kind of stumbled me because I didn't get saved until 1999. So the word gay had only been stolen by then. They was using it for their own lifestyle. Can I say gay is not an alternative lifestyle? It's a pleasant state of mind for the believer. They're happy. They're smiling. Why? Because God has blessed them. And can I say they want to change the thing and say you can't say saved no more. You can't say born again no more. You got to say we're making disciples or things of that nature. But friend, as we've addressed before, you can't make a disciple until they first been delivered. And they can't be delivered unless they first realize they've been saved. And they can't be saved unless they first looked unto the one who can save them. I still believe it. You got to look unto Jesus Christ and be saved. I love that Old Testament. I love that old-fashioned word, saved, saved, I'm saved. I thank God that I'm saved today. Some folks say, preacher, what are you saved from? If you've been saved, what have you been saved from? I've been saved from a lot of things. I've been saved from death. I've been saved from sin. I've been saved from hell. I've been saved from the separation that I had from the Lord. And every day He's still saving me. Sister Tracy, He's saving me from this world. He's saving me from myself. My soul is eternally saved, signed, sealed, delivered. But every day I need help. Every day I need a hand. Every day I need a lifter up in my head, and He's always been, I'm about to take me a running fit, He's never left nor forsaken. He's still the lifter of my head. He's still saving me. Anybody hearing this, preacher? I love the fact of being saved. When you get that born again, when you get that what we call, what some folks, the religious experience with Jesus Christ, being saved. Y'all hearing the preacher about all right? Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. Hallelujah. He saved us by the washing and regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, Brother James. I thank God that He saved us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that there is the unrighteous and the effeminate and the whoremongers and the drunkards and all them people inherit the kingdom of God. And He says, and such were some of you, but now you're washed, now you're sanctified, now you're justified. I'm glad I've been washed, I've been saved by the grace of God. You're saved by grace through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God I'm saved. In Acts chapter number 16 and verses number 30 and 31, we find where the Philippian jailer, we just found out that Paul and Silas were not broke out of prison. The Lord opened up the prison doors. They didn't have to break out. The Lord opened up the doors. Everybody stayed in prison. It wasn't a prison break. It was a prison revival. And the Philippian jailer, the warden of the prison, he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, sir, don't do yourself the harm, sir. We're all still here. And what did he say to Paul? He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? His life depended on it. He knew it, them prisoners, if they was to run off, he knew because the cell doors got swung open that the person who's going to be under the chopping block of losing his head was going to be him. And so what was he asking, Brother James? He was saying, what must I do to be saved? Whatever happened to rejoicing and being saved? Is anybody here saved this morning? Is anybody happy about being saved? Has anybody ever been saved from anything? Woo! I've been saved. I've been saved. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans chapter number 1, verse 16. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah right there. He said unto the Jew and also unto the Greek. He said, for there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You said, preacher, what did he say that for? Because he was ready to preach. He told them folks in the book of Corinthians, in the first chapter, 18th verse, he said, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness, but unto us that are saved, unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. The Apostle Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. You know what happens sometimes when we get the mully grubs? You know what happens sometimes when we get down and downtrodden? Sister Peggy, we forgot we've been saved. You said, preacher, but I still feel like... still feel like I've been run over by a Mack truck. Yeah, but you haven't really been run over by a Mack truck. Lift up your head, child of God. Look unto the hills from which comes your help. Take a good long look. Jesus is still up there and His hand still raised. Is anybody hearing this, preacher? Do I need to get me some pom-poms and a megaphone and a whistle and chant and do some cartwheels and flips to get you to realize you're saved? If you've looked unto Him, look unto Him and be ye saved. Look unto Him and be ye saved. The Scripture says that we are saved. He says, look unto Me and be ye saved. But He says, to who is this message for? Is it the children of Israel? Is it Mount Zion Baptist Church? He says, all the ends of the world. That's to everybody, Brother James. That means if your stock doesn't measure up, if your name doesn't count, if your upbringing and your raising, and if your mom and dad wasn't a part of the local in crowd, somebody hear the preacher? I remember as a kid growing up, as we got older and got into our high school years, they always loved sitting around the donut shop, Whistle Stop. It's not even there no more. The building's still there, but the Whistle Stop's no longer there, donut place. Sister, you get there early in the morning, they get there at the Whistle Stop, and all the in-crowd parents get there, and they'd have themselves a good time of talking and coffeeing. I don't know what they talked about, so I can't say nothing bad about them. All I knew is my mom and dad wouldn't go sit around eating donuts and drink coffee with them. My mom and dad was working. My mom and dad was working and was trying their very little best, Dave, to keep a sorry individual's youngest baby son out of trouble, and I wasn't doing a good job of helping them. But evidently, my stock wasn't as high, my name wasn't as high as some of them around Carlisle, but I found out after 1999 my name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because I've been saved. Not because my mom and dad, not because of my upbringing, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You may think, well, preacher, what's going on? This pure and simple, simplistic gospel. What good does it do if we get real deep with the Scripture, if nobody understands and fully rejoices in salvation? You know, the Bible says that them disciples had the power to cast out demons and do all kinds of things. And when they come back from being sent out by twos, they come back and they was rejoicing because they was able to cast out devils. They was able to do all kinds of things. And Jesus said, don't rejoice that you could cast out devils. He says, rejoice that your name's written in heaven. If you can't rejoice over being saved, then nothing else will cause you to rejoice. I found out this, that salvation doesn't help my flesh, but it did pass me from death unto life. So it helps my soul, it helps my heart, it helps my spirit, Brother Roger. I found out the hardest thing to do is to get man out of the mix of it, because it's between God and the individual. And I have to look unto him. I have to look to him. Some of my kids may not realize it, and some of them may not know it, but I know there's times and instances. And whenever we've been at football games and things of that nature, and I'm not bragging upon myself, but I've watched. I'll get there early, and I'll sit in the bleachers, and I always sit on a certain side of the bleachers. And the reason why I do, one, I want to get away from the band and the student section, but I want to sit where it's kind of quiet. Then I get them parents that just as loud too. But I always sit in the same spot. And the reason why I sit in the same spot, Brother James, because I want my son, when he turns around and looks at me, he knows where I'm sitting at. Now, the reason why I said that, I said this, all my kids, I've always wanted to be in a position where my kids could see me. I think God is always in the position for his children to see him. I don't think he's hiding from us. I think he's in the same spot he's always been. What we need is have our eyes checked. Have an eye examination. When's the last time you took a good long look at the Lord? Just stopped and looked at his direction. When you look at his direction, it'll bring to memory what he's done for you. Has he saved you? Are you saved today? I'm not talking about having your name on the church roll. I'm not saying go ask Brother Eddie and go ask Sister Michelle, got them all in order, and Sister Pam, got them all in order, see if you can find your name on that. No. My, I'm talking about with the Lord's, is your name written in glory? Are you saved? Are you born again? Did you look unto the Lord? Is he the one that saved you? Have you looked unto him and kept your eyes focused upon him? I believe today there's some people as Peter. They're in the sea of life, as the song that was sung, Brother Eddie. And I believe they're in that boat, and the storms are raging, and the waves are beating, and they see Jesus walking on the sea. Thank God they saw the Lord walking on the sea. He would have passed them by, but they cried out. Now, I know the Lord wasn't lost. Wait, I believe the Lord knows exactly what he was doing. He was getting in the position so they could see him. And when it got real bad, Peter looked out and said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come on the water. And what did Peter do? He got out of the boat. You know, I think it'd do us some good, Brother Roger, if we just get out of the boat. Get out of our comfort zone. And get there, grow close to the Lord. But the key was, Sister Tina, is that as he was walking, the waves of life and the storm was still going on. Can I say this? It doesn't stop what goes on around us, Cora. There's still going to be problems. There's still going to be battles. There's still going to be fights. But through all of it, you could still see Jesus. Peter could still see the Lord. He could look unto who? Under the Lord. But as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord and saw the waves and the wind, he began to sink. I wonder how many people here today sinking. Are you sinking in your walk? Sinking in your determination? Are you sinking in your commitment? Or do you just feel like you're about to drown because the waves of life? We like that song, I'm wading through deep waters trying to get home. And the waves of sin, they dash so high. Sometimes I think I'm gone. But when I think I'm going to sink, I raise my hands up high. And the hand of God comes down and takes a hold of mine. Aren't you glad he's still in clear view? The problem is we got to put our eyes upon him. They always want to throw off on somebody else. Realistically, when it's all said and done, we'll give an account on how we stood or how we've walked and how we've kept our eyes upon him. Can I say, it's not the faith that you need, it's the focusing of your faith, looking unto the author and the finisher of it. Many places in Scripture, and there's a lot of things, and you may think I'm crazy, but the only thing you really need to focus on is the Lord. When I got saved, Brother James, I didn't know. I just knew Mary was the mother, I didn't know the story. And I believe this. I believe you don't have to know who Abraham is to get saved. Y'all agree with that? Can you help me out? I'm about, y'all, Paul, can we come? April, can we come? We're done.